Well, good evening to all of you. I don't know of a more appropriate song that goes with the sermon than Footsteps of Jesus. The issue with the footsteps of Jesus or footprints of Jesus, as I've heard it said also, we're not quite sure where they're going. We know where they have gone. We know the man that walked them, but as far as where they go now and how to follow them, that can be our great challenge. On the screen in front of you, and has somehow been up there the entire time, is Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21. What's described there has to be the greatest game of follow the leader in history. I mean, this is monumental. What happens here in Exodus 13? God begins to lead Israel from Egypt to Canaan. And the way he does that is by this very unique method. It's really never done again. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Exodus 13 and 21 tells him that the Lord went before them and showed them where it is they would go. They were 600,000 armed Israelites with their families. Estimates range 2 million plus people. But the passage that was read just a few moments ago is one that's quite curious. And I would like you to turn there, if you haven't already. Numbers 9 and verse 15 is where we're going to spend our evening, as far as our study goes. And I put Exodus 13, 21 simply to show that if the only thing that the Lord wanted to convey to us is that Israel was led by fire and by cloud, He went before them through the wilderness. One verse is enough just to tell us how he did it. But in Numbers, the 9th chapter, how they did it is described. Verses 15 through 23 tell us how it was supposed to happen. I want to look with you at that passage because it's, when you read through it and you hear it read again, what you're going to notice is there's a lot of repetition. There's a lot of, we've heard that already. We get it. He went before them. When they stopped, he stopped. When they, and so forth. But listen to it. It says Numbers 9 beginning in verse 15. It helps if you turn to Numbers 9 instead of Numbers 15. Numbers 9 in verse 15. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire till morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, that after that the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Lord, they camped. We think, okay, that's spelled out in very plain language. When it moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. But then Numbers 9 keeps going. Almost as if we have trouble understanding these things, which, by the way, we do. He goes on to give us more details. Verse 18. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. And I think, well, of course they did. But that's what it says. And then you keep reading. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained at camp. And we're all like, well, of course they did. But then it keeps going. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. When the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, you get the idea. It's like the Moses here writing by inspiration here in Numbers is trying to just grab us and make this point. Whenever the Lord moved, the people moved. Whenever the Lord stopped, the people stopped. And however long the Lord decided to stay there, that is exactly the amount of time Israel was supposed to stay there. There was to be no deviation from this pattern. not on account of how long or how short they were there, or when they were asked to leave. That passage, along with that song, Footprints of Jesus, I think is very instructive for us. So that's one I want to look at just for a few moments. I want to look at that. That's what I was supposed to have up there in the first place. I want to examine this idea of when the cloud lifted and they set out. And for a few minutes, I want you to imagine you're an Israelite and you have to live under this system. If you went outside, you would pull your tent out of the back of your car. And this is how you would live for a while. Following the cloud, following the fire. Now you got to think about this. You got to think about what it would be like to be in that particular situation. The first thing that would have to occur to you as you live in this system of you set up your tent and you live there however long the cloud or the fire stays there, the overwhelming point that you have to realize first is you are not at home. After all, this is not how people live who plan on staying there for a while. This is not a permanent structure. They don't get to their camping place and start laying foundations for houses. Start cutting down trees so they can build, you know, frame walls or something like that. They just set up their tent and that's how long they were going to stay there. And they had no idea how long they would be there. This was a transient, temporary lifestyle. Much the same as their forefathers had practiced, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When they themselves dwelt in the land of Canaan, they didn't dwell in a permanent place. They may have had one town or the other where they stayed longer than another. But none of them built houses in Canaan. None of them lived anywhere for any solid amount of time. If nothing else is taught to Israel, it would be that the wilderness was not where they were going to stay. The wilderness was only a means to a better end. They were only there for a little while because they were heading somewhere that was far better. And the way God moved His people reinforced that point. Christians today can remember and reinforce this concept as well. If this life were about gathering money and building houses, then we have a lot to lose when we die. This life is not permanent. This life is a wilderness. If you go to any hospital or nursing home, you get reminded just how temporary this dwelling is. Just how fragile it is. Just how quickly it can be built up and how quickly it can be torn down. It's because we were never meant to stay. At least not since the Garden of Eden. As the beloved hymn says so well, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Because our home is in heaven. We are not looking forward to what we can do here, we are using here as a means to a better end. John the 14th chapter and in verse 4, Jesus spoke with His disciples in the upper room before His crucifixion. It's interesting that one of the very first things out of Jesus' mouth in that long conversation He has with them, and He talks about a lot of things here, but one of the first things out of Jesus' mouth in John 14, if you look in verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus went to prepare for us a place, and the reason for that is because this is not the place we were meant to stay. This world is not the basket upon which we lay all of our spiritual eggs. We are in search of a better land. We're in search of our own land of milk and honey. Paul words this beautifully in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, speaking of himself and other Christians, saying, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. The body is the tent. The body is the temporary dwelling, but our home is with God. The eternal part of us wants to be with the one who created it. We want to be at home with the Lord. It takes a great deal of courage and faith to live this way, to run absolutely counter to everything in the world around us, to live, spiritually speaking, a transient lifestyle. It takes a lot of courage to say, like Paul does in Philippians 1, verse 21, to live as Christ and to die is gain. No Israelite would have built their house in the wilderness. It was a terrible place. Wasn't any water, wasn't any food, enemies all around. So they were looking forward to somewhere better. And I think as a Christian, sometimes I need to be reminded that somewhere else is better than here. A good friend of mine that's no longer with us said, if this world is too good, maybe we won't look forward to heaven. We have to do like they did. We have to think transient way. We have to live that way. Go towards Canaan. Back in Numbers chapter 9, I want you to go back, if you will, and read verse 22. Because when I read this, this was the verse that really inspired the sermon. And then when I started looking around it, I found more and more and more things to talk about. Numbers 9 and verse 22 is just a fascinating verse. It says there, speaking of the cloud, it says, whether it was 2 days or a month, or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. Now put yourself in the shoes of an Israelite living this transient tent lifestyle, and you have no idea when you're going to pack up and leave. Anybody ready to sign up for that? To just have an open, okay, you just tell me when to move and I'll get up and go. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? Some of us like to plan the next couple of weeks or days or hours. We like to know what's going to happen, or at least some semblance of what's going to happen. If you're an Israelite in the wilderness in Numbers 9, you have no idea. When you wake up in the morning and you shrug off the dust and you go outside and you open the tent flap and you look towards the tabernacle, it may be lifted up or not. You don't have any idea. That's every day. You get up and you look outside and you have no clue whether it's going to go. The cloud could lift while you're in the middle of something. While you're in the middle of fixing something or preparing clothes or feeding the kids or getting ready to go to bed at night. You've had a long day and you lay down and there it goes. That's how it was. You could be somewhere 2 days. You could be somewhere 2 weeks. Text says you could be somewhere a month. You could be somewhere a few hours. Look at verse 21. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. Sometimes they journeyed, got to a place, went to sleep at night, got up the next morning, and the cloud picked up again. Time to go. And they had just laid all their stuff down. Can you imagine living that way? What would it take to be able to go through this on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? What it would take is a commitment to obey God in spite of not knowing a thing about what's going to happen next. Without having any ideas for what the future is, the only thing that there is follow God. Do as God said. And be prepared at any moment to obey His instructions. That has to be one of the lessons that Israel learns in the wilderness. To obey God in spite of every amount of uncertainty you can imagine. We as Christians would do well to learn that lesson. What if we decided we would be obedient in spite of the fact that we don't know what's going on? How different would we be if we adopted this perspective? Start every day by waking up, looking to God, praying, looking to His Word, and allowing that to lead us. We don't know where God's going to put us. We don't know if God's going to leave us in a place for several years or several hours. We haven't the slightest clue. And that's frustrating. That's the way it is. The decision we have is whether or not we will obey God throughout those periods. Throughout the times when God tells us to get up day after day after day after day, or He leaves us somewhere for a while. We've got to decide what we're going to do in those contexts. Israel was taught in the wilderness to obey the Lord. Oh, and it's interesting how well this passage matches with James, the fourth chapter, and verse 14. The lesson that's taught in Numbers 9 is that you have no idea what the next day is going to hold. And in James 4 and in verse 14, James writing says, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." Almost like he had Numbers 9 open in front of him. And he says, it's still that way. You have no idea. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, verse 15, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. We as Christians have to learn not to filter our obedience through our certainty about a thing. And I think one area where I struggle with that especially is evangelism. Why is it we don't want to spread the gospel to people? Because we don't know whether they'll say yes. God never asked us to be certain. He asked us to obey. We have no idea. We have no idea whether they'll say no and spit in our face or whether they'll go home and bring the whole family to God. We have no idea. God never asked us to have an idea. He asked us to obey. We would do well to learn the lesson of Numbers 9 in that context. One final lesson, and the lesson will be yours this evening. Think about this. Back in Numbers 9, back in the wilderness, following the cloud, following the pillar of fire, walking around the wilderness, don't know where you're going, don't know how long you're going to be there. One person put it, "Know where we're going, but there's no use being late." So they would trek through the wilderness. You ever considered that no Israelite had ever been there before? At least not any that were living. It had been a long time since Jacob and Joseph and the brothers and their families, the original 70, it had been a long time since they'd walked through that part of the world. And they'd spent several generations, at least a couple of hundred years in Egypt. We're talking grandchildren and great-grandchildren of those 70. Possibly great-greats. No Israelite had ever been there before. They could not at any point look up at the horizon and say, "Oh, there we are, just past that tree." Not once could they say that. Each new location they came across was unfamiliar terrain. And wherever the Lord stopped the pillar of cloud, that's where they had to make camp. They didn't know what was just over the ridge in any direction. They didn't know how long was the next stop. There was no signs on the rest areas, you know. They didn't know whether the next ridge was empty land or an oasis or a hostile nation. They didn't have the slightest clue what was there. But wherever the Lord stopped, that's where they had to make camp. And so you're an Israelite. You have to put your stuff down right there, not knowing anything about what's around you. Think about that. They didn't get to stop at the KOA. All right. Wherever they camped, that's where they were. Israel's trust in God was tested each time. Each time they made camp, there was the fresh question, are we going to be okay here? when we make camp tonight, are they going to come over the mountains and wipe us out? When we make camp tonight, is there going to be water? Is there going to be something to eat? And then every time the cloud moved, they were okay. They were provided for. The nations didn't come down out of the hills and wipe them out. They had something to eat. They had something to drink. Every single time, God was faithful in protecting them. It's what it means to follow God through uncharted territory. That's a lesson I think you and I have to learn. When you came in this building tonight, you had never once walked in the same age as you are right now. Right? If you have, then you have a time machine. We need to speak. You've never done this moment before. Should the Lord give us 5 more minutes? You've never done those 5 minutes before. You are walking through uncharted territory every single day. Trust me. We have a lot, we know what uncharted territory is, okay? The kids do something new every day. They destroy something else of ours every day. We like to live under this illusion that the things that were behind us are going to indicate the way forward, and that's just not the case. We have no idea where it is we are right now. Even on the most normal of days, you are doing those things for the first time. And when some new challenge comes over the horizon, when some new test, when some new difficulty or problem comes over the horizon, each and every time we have to make the decision. Am I going to trust that God's way is good enough for this? Or am I going to say, no, I think I need to scrap that? Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse 14, describes... Romans 8 in general describes in really neat way a lot of the benefits of being a child of God, of being a Christian. But one of the requirements that's listed in Romans 8 is described in verse 14. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." We think, okay, we're sons of God. Do we really put all of our stock in the first half of the sentence? For all who are led by the Spirit of God. You see, we're redoing Numbers 9 right now. We are reenacting what they had to do. When God went somewhere, they had to follow. Christians today are called to do the very same thing. We don't have to know what direction we're going if we trust the one we're following. Bo and Ty, they have the hardest time with that. They want to know where we're going. Where are we going? I'm not going to drive off a cliff. I hope not. Do you trust the driver enough to say, I'm okay with wherever you're leading me? We have to do that with God. We don't have to know where we're going if we trust the one who leads us. Psalm 37 in verse 23, words it this way. It says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand." See, this tells us that God's way, God establishes our way, and yes, there may be difficulties. There may be moments where we fall down, but we don't fall all the way to the ground. We may trip, we may stumble, but we do not fall headlong into injury. For God is holding our hand, and that's a beautiful image. I want to leave you with that tonight. God's leading you. It means He's got to be in front, but He doesn't just go and leave you behind. He guides you. He takes care of you. He cares what happens. So when it comes to following God, we can learn a lot from Israel. Learn to look to the Father. Go where He goes, stop where He stops, and be content in both of those choices that He makes. The Lord leads the faithful, and the question I want to leave you with tonight is, will you join the faithful in following Him? The faithful don't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we have it all figured out. It doesn't mean we're going to know what happens tomorrow. We're all equally clueless in that regard. To be faithful means we have committed our lives to Jesus. We have committed our way to His way. And we have said, no matter what, wherever God goes, we will follow. Whatever He says, we will do. Because we know where He's leading us. There's a reason why we sing, "This world is not our home, I'm just passing through." Because God's leading us somewhere better. And my question I want to leave you tonight is, are you following Him? And do you want to join us in that effort? You can trade in your wilderness for Canaan. And if you know anything about Canaan, you know that you need to do that. If you're a Christian and you've forgotten just how wonderful the promised land is and how to get there, you beg God's forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive us our trespasses if we confess those things to Him. If you have a need we can address tonight of a spiritual nature, I encourage you, while we sing, come down to the front row, while we stand and sing.